I'm going to skip the creation section and jump right to sovereignty. This is a big issue. Yes, sir.
Can you give us the
No. No, I want you to be tormented. To wonder what should be in those blanks. No, because I may come back to it. Let's do a little bit of controversy here on sovereignty. Okay, number one, under sovereignty, God is the supreme authority and in complete control of the universe. His dominion is total. No one can interfere with His purpose or thwart His plans. Do you believe that? I want you to read it and make sure. God is the supreme authority and is in complete control of the universe. His dominion is total. No one can interfere with His purpose or thwart His plans. Do you believe that? Are you sure? Anybody not sure?
Question.
Yeah.
Paul, if that is always true, then what can you say about people who do not do the will of God? Like, if God's plan for this person is, it's like predestination in a way. If that the plan of God for this person is for this person to, you know, become a pastor, for example, but the person denied or did not do the will of God.
Yeah.
What? How does that connect to?
What's your answer?
I'm asking Pastor Pao.
No, I know. I'm asking you.
I'm asking back, Pastor.
I know, but I'm in charge.
My answer is you.
I'm more important than you in this class. Hey, in this class, I'm the lion, you're the wildebeest. What do you think?
He is still sovereign, but
it's tricky, isn't it? That's why I wanted to make sure you really believe it. You may not, and that's okay. Are you sure you believe this? Because there's some ramifications if you believe this. Some implications. Just want to make sure. Go ahead, Adrian.
Maybe because maybe the statement is about authority on a general sense, but not on for every individual.
No, this one is total. His dominion is total. No one can interfere with His purpose or thwart His plans. No one. Do you believe it?
I have some confusion because,
yeah,
for example, for the case of Adam, and start from Adam
Good.
And Eve, they chose to rebel against God,
yeah,
by sinning. So if God is total even in their decision making, then God is in control of their decision making as well. Is that what this statement is saying?
Let's read the statement again. God is the supreme authority and is in complete control of the universe. His dominion is total. No one can interfere with His purpose or thwart His plans. What do you think, Adrian?
I guess I'm having a hard time believing that even in the individual, some individual decisions of people, especially in following God or not.
Yeah, good. It's okay to disagree. I wrote this. There is a verse, but we haven't got to the verse yet. I'm just asking if you believe the statement. So you, this is the word of man, and I'm the man. Yeah, Gio?
I think there's a confusion in terms of, I think we have a free will, but our free will is still within the authority of God. Because I think in terms of Adam and Eve sinning, I think when I think of sovereignty, and I could be wrong, but it simply means that he's still in control and he isn't surprised that, hey, why did that happen? But that still, you know, God is in control even if we have our own free will.
Well, that's an interesting question. You're assuming we have a free will.
I think so, yeah.
It wouldn't. Really? Are you sure about that?
Now I'm not so sure. No, I mean, in terms of a relationship having, I think, anyway, I'll just wait for the answer.
No. I'm not going to give you the answer. I want you to think about the answer. Go ahead, Joseph.
I don't know if this is about God's sovereignty or God's eternality, but I was comforted by I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, whenever God looks at what's happening now, for us, it's a linear thing.
Yeah.
Like, the future is still about to happen, but when God looks at what's happening now, since he's beyond space and time, it has already happened. Meaning, my decisions now.
But who made it happen?
God.
Okay, well, that's the statement.
God.
Okay. He's not confused. You really believe this? Are you sure? I mean, think about what it means. Complete control, that means everything that happens.
Like on time Hitler, he killed the Jews.
Yeah.
So, is that what God planned?
That's what you have to decide. I made a statement, and you are free to disagree with it.
I believe the plan of God is sovereign. Not every plan of God will come through. Like there will be a new heaven, new earth, that it will come through.
And, yes.
But because we do have the free will, God respects that will.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, go ahead, Jovir.
Pastor Paul, if we think of sovereignty and we believe that God is sovereign, then there's a ramification of thinking that we don't have to change. Because anyway, God will, you know, direct us and lead us to that place.
Okay.
So for me, that's the danger of understanding sovereignty.
So you don't agree with this statement then? It's okay, really. It is totally okay to not agree.
Because I have this illustration. Like, for example, if a believer, or for example, yeah, a believer who died in a car crash because he was drunk.
Yeah.
So whose fault was that? If he drove the car without getting drunk, then he could have lived. But since he, you know, consume alcohol, so that's the reason why he died.
What does that have to do with this statement?
Because again, if we say that God is sovereign, then we can say, you know, anyway, God is sovereign, so that guy is still good and something like that.
Is God sovereign or is man sovereign? Jerome?
Yeah, there's a verse that it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that prevails.
Yeah, there's lots of verses.
Yeah.
So lots of different things.
I strongly believe in that.
Hey, guys. Okay, so you believe this. You're on board.
Yeah, my number one strength is belief. So.
Doesn't mean you have to believe this, but...
I believe this, yes.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Go again. You got that mic. You're ready.
Okay. It's like the Calvin thing.
The
tulip thing. So something like that, the definition of the sovereignty of God.
You don't have to be a Calvinist to believe this. Mm-mm. You could be an Arminian and believe that. Uh-huh. So, yes. Go ahead.
Yes.
I
believe in the statement simply because, you know, God really is sovereign, but doesn't mean he's the one causing all things to happen as far as man is concerned.
Oh, well, that's what that statement says.
Yeah, he's in control, but it doesn't mean that he's the one.
His dominion is total.
Yeah. What I mean is...
I know what you mean. It's not what this means.
Yeah, okay. Let me say it again. God is sovereign and in control of everything that is happening. But regardless of man's response or whatever we do, it will always serve his purpose, because that's how.
This verse is, or this statement is saying more than that.
Yeah.
It's saying he's in charge. No one thwarts his plans. Yeah. Go ahead.
Pastor Paul.
Yes, sir.
The statement says, interfere with his purpose and thwart his plans.
Say again.
We're talking about interfering with his purpose and thwart his plans.
Yeah.
So when we talk about like the things that we're doing, that might look like it's like interfering with his plans. At the end of the day, if it's just like a detour, his purposes and plans would still prevail.
That's different than what this statement is. Yeah. I don't think a lot of you actually believe this. At first light, maybe you do, but when you begin thinking about it, most of the people who are saying they're agreeing with it, their agreement is the opposite of what this is saying. This is saying everything happens because of God's sovereignty. Kicks? Do it in a mic.
I think one of the key words here in this statement is the word authority.
Yeah.
So which means he allows things to a certain degree, because he knows that it's still, for example, I think in the life of Job, when he told the enemy, he told the devil to, okay, you may do this, but you cannot touch this. You cannot touch this man. You can take his possessions and all that. So I think that's where the sovereignty of God is.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows that what's going to happen in the future. He's all-knowing. So I think the authority in a sense that I will just allow it to a certain extent. Other than that, you cannot. I think that will help us believe in it.
Yeah, that's not what this statement says, though.
It's full control.
Yeah. Yes, Arthur?
It says...
Gio thinks we do.
Part of it says he is in complete control of the universe.
Yeah.
So
the universe.
If God's not in control of something, who's in control of it?
Well, it's man.
Yeah. But
because he has a free will.
Yeah, but God is above and beyond his creation. Man is not. Man is not God, so he's not in control of everything. He can't be in control of anything because he's just a creation.
Okay, Neil.
I believe this statement. Because God has a plan A for everything. What I mean is, he doesn't have another plan. Because if he has another plan, he is not a sovereign God. So he's in control, and I disagree that we have a free will.
Woo! Did I ever tell you you're my favorite student?
I got the answer. Ah.
Well, I just like to stir up a little controversy in the beginning. I like to stir up controversy because I like us to think. Now, I believe the statement wholeheartedly, but not everybody does. And not everybody in every nation does. So this isn't the every nation viewpoint. This is my viewpoint. There are plenty of other viewpoints that are held among us that are all valid, and they're scriptural backing. The point of this study is to think. To think. It's not to lock down on a position and then have strife with others who have different positions. It's to think through it. So that's why I want to challenge you. I think we accept things like free will. We've heard that since we first got saved. We assume that. But I want us to challenge that. Now, after thinking about it and being challenged and thinking through it, you may still come to the conclusion that yes, he does. Great. My purpose was to get you to think and not to accept things that you've heard without having thought through them and being really sure that you believe them because you thought through the ramifications of those things. So, for example, when we say man has a free will, then we have to deal with verses that make it very plain that a man apart from God is dead. Dead people aren't making choices. So free will is a common idea, but I want us to challenge it and think about it. Does the Bible teach free will in the sense that we've used the term or the term is normally used? Something good to think about. Bong.
How about when the Lord God's given us his commands, then he has given us the choice to obey or disobey. Then it means we have a free will.
Does it?
That's my...
Again, the point that I want to bring up is then it's not all of grace. It was grace plus our choice. Something to think about. We got a long way to go here, so let me get a little more of the material here. And then we'll talk some more, okay? So I just like to start with a little controversy. And it helps keep me awake in this last session. God is the supreme authority. We agree with that. No problem there. He's the supreme. Everybody believes that, right? You have to believe that, or you have to leave the room now. And in complete control of the universe. I think we all believe that at least in the ultimate sense, we're not all yet ready to agree that every detail that happens is a part of his will. But I think we've all at least agreed that in the ultimate sense, he's in complete control. Yeah? No problem there. His dominion is total. Now that changes things a little bit. No one can interfere with his purpose. What that means is that everything that happens is his purpose. Nobody can interfere. Therefore, his purpose is always worked out. Daniel chapter 4, his dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. He does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? When we say God is sovereign, what we mean is that he does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And often without giving an explanation to us why he did it. That's what it means. God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And he feels no compulsion to explain to us why he did it. He's sovereign. The word authority, which is, as somebody over here pointed out, was the key word. Kicks, I think, wasn't it? The word authority, what does that word come from? What's the root?
Author.
Author, yeah. An author is someone who does what? Yeah, creates a story, right? So author means the creator. God's authority comes out of the fact that he created. It belongs to him. He owns it. Therefore, he can do whatever he wants with his stuff. It's his universe. All the people in the universe are his.
Yes.
He can do whatever he wants with them. He can make one as a vessel for dishonor, or he can make another as a vessel for glory. He does whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, often without explaining it to us. That's what we mean. Sovereignty, number two, contains two ideas, authority and power. Authority refers to a sovereign's rights, and power refers to a sovereign's ability. God has both the right to rule over creation and the ability. Now, we use an illustration. For 4 years, I lived across the street in Surrendra, the building closest to the corner here. And so every day, I would walk across two streets to get to the building. And in the morning, the early morning especially, out at this intersection, there's always multiple traffic police. Now, traffic police, they wear an outfit, they wear a uniform. That means they are sanctioned by, I guess it's Taguig, to control the traffic at that particular intersection. They've got the authority to do it. And so they've got the glove, right, with the two different colors on it. Yeah, green and then the red. So when they do the green, that means you go. As soon as they put that red, you stop. They've got authority to make you stop. But they don't have power. They have authority, but no power. If a jeepney decides he doesn't want to stop, that traffic policeman does not have the power to enforce his will. The jeepney will win. Pastor Otto taught me when I first got here, he said, here's the most important rule as a pedestrian in Manila. He said, that which is hardest wins. Metal beats flesh every time. I've almost been killed 4 times. Fortunately, I survived. There's an old arcade game called Frogger. Did you ever see it? Some of the old guys know what I'm talking about. It's this little frog trying to get across the street. Yeah, and you play the game. It was in the arcade, you know, it was like Pac-Man, Frogger. That's what I felt like, trying to get home every night, just from this building. Because the frog, he goes a little ways, and then he has to hop back, and then he moves 2 rows, and then he has to hop, and then finally he gets across. That's what it was like. Sometimes I'd come home, and I'd open the door, and my wife would be there. I said, the froggy made it today. I don't know about tomorrow, but the froggy made it today. So that traffic policeman, he's got authority, complete authority, but no power. God has both authority and power. He can make us do whatever he wants us to do. He has total power. He has the authority because he owns us. And he can do with us whatever he wants to do. If you own an automobile and you decide you want to take a sledgehammer and start to destroy it, you're perfectly free to do it. It's your car. You can do with that car whatever you please. God owns us. He has the authority over us as the owner. But not only does he have authority, he has power. He can do anything he wants. That's what sovereignty means. God has both authority and power to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
It's true, whether you're okay with it or not. There is no authority higher than God's in the universe. And all authority that exists is derived from and dependent upon God's authority. All other forms of authority exist either by God's command or by His permission. Now, here's a quote by R.C. Sproul that I like. I'd like us to think about it. He said, if something could come to pass apart from God's sovereign permission, then that which came to pass would frustrate His sovereignty. If God refused to permit something to happen, and it happened anyway, then whatever caused it to happen would have more authority and power than God Himself. If there's any part of creation outside of God's sovereignty, then God is simply not sovereign. If God is not sovereign, then He's not God. That's quite a thought, isn't it? So what he's saying is, if there's something that God does not want to happen, He doesn't want it to happen, but it happens anyway, then whoever or whatever caused that to happen has more power than God. And therefore, is actually the real God. He's the one in charge. What do you think about that? Hard to get around that, isn't it? Yeah. If there's something God wants to happen, and it doesn't happen, then whatever caused it to happen has more power and authority than God. And therefore, God isn't really God. And that would be a bad day if God turned out to not be God. That can ruin your whole day right there. What do you think about that?
Mr. Paul?
Yes, Gio?
Your Honor, I'd like to recant my former statement.
No, don't. don't recant
that,
yet.
That was just a joke.
Hold on.
Wait. But thank you for, I think it makes more sense now, or the understanding of the original statement that
yeah.
we were, in light of what you've discussed. So,
yeah
I think, thank you, Neil. Yeah. So I guess I'm not gonna say, but I think there is really no free
Great.
Will. Yeah.
Great.
Now I think.
Yeah. Really.
I remember one of Paul's writing when he talks about the theory. The theology of the elect. When he said that, talking about Esau and Jacob, he said that he gives mercy to those who he gives mercy and compassion.
Yeah.
To those who gives
and
compassion.
Those
and before any of these two did everything on this world, he said that the younger will serve the older. It kind of fits in this sovereign. And my personal learning from that is it just, you know, it just wants you to worship God even more, because the reason why we're here is not because we're good or we're smart or we're godly people. It's just that God wants us to be here. I mean, senior pastors of the church, and that's big. Yeah. It's not because we chose to obey. It's because he wants to, and it just feels so much grace and privilege.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you, Rudy. Yeah. I'm going to call on, is that Joseph? Yeah.
Pastor, I also remember what had happened in Exodus when God hardened the heart of Pharaoh.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, not to let the people, the Israelites, go. And in order for him to be known that he is the authority.
Yeah, power. Now it's interesting in that passage. Thank you for bringing that up. 9 times in Exodus, the Bible says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But 4 times it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Hold that thought. We'll talk about that later. Louis, and Pastor, then Jovir. Grab a mic, Jovir,
Pastor
so you're
Paul,
ready. Yes.
So what's the connection between these principles and these verses to predestiny and looking at this, it is as if we don't have free will, if everything is predestined?
I don't think, let me see how I want to say it. I don't think there is a, it's possible to make a connection, but you don't have to make a connection. So you don't actually have to believe in predestination to actually believe this. You don't have to. I think as we go through more data, maybe that might become clear to you. Okay? Jovir?
Pastor Paul, I was thinking about what happened in Iligan 2011, the Sindong Typhoon.
Yeah.
And because there were a lot of people came to the church. So I was thinking about the way we comfort them. So how are you going to present God? Is it God's fault or it's evil? All this typhoon and all these things.
No, that's a really important question. It's related to this. It's a little separate. It's called a theodicy. Have you ever heard that term, theodicy? Theodicy comes from the Latin word theo, God, and Dice, she was the goddess of justice. So theodicy is justifying God in the presence of evil. And theodicy is how do we defend God in a world that's filled with evil? If God is, first of all powerful and all love, then why do bad things happen? Because obviously, if he's all love, he doesn't want it to happen. If he's all powerful, he can stop it. That's an important issue. It's related to this, but it is separate. And I think let's get a little bit deeper in before we tackle that one. Thank you for bringing it up. Henry.
Actually, that's my question.
Okay.
I was thinking about God is sovereign and God is loving, right? And he loves every person, and he wants every person to be with him in heaven. But in the end, we know that not every person will be with him. Yeah. If he is sovereign, he can make it that every person can go to him. But why is it that there are some who will not be able to make it? Then does that mean that he is not loving? He doesn't love everyone. So
that's a good question. The scripture continually affirms that God reigns on his throne as king of the universe, exercising dominion over everything. Now, we're going to transition into providence. Those terms are often related, and they're closely related. So let's tie them in together here, okay? Providence. Sometimes they're used interchangeably. But sovereignty is who God is. Providence is what he does. Sovereignty relates to who God is. Providence relates to what he does. So let's look at what the Bible teaches about providence. Number one, God is actively... What, you got something else you're writing on there? How come you got two? Oh, you're just... Yeah. You're tricking me, Neil. God is actively related to and involved in the creation at every moment. He upholds all things. Now, when you read these texts and when you read the text in Scripture, you see that God takes responsibility for even the sparrows that fall in the forest. That God is involved in every single hair on our head. Or that used to be on our head. When you read the text, you you're astonished at how much God takes responsibility for the wind, for the snow. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place to talk about snow. Right? For all the creatures in the sea and their movement in the sea, God orders and ordains all things. He's involved in every aspect of creation. It's really quite astonishing to read the text and to go through all of the areas in life that God says happens because of His involvement. We have a picture, and I think it's a false picture. It's a picture that was given to us from science, that God sort of set in motion these laws of nature. And now these laws of nature continue to function independent of God. I don't think that's the biblical view. I think when I take this marker and I drop it, I think it falls. Thank you. Not because of gravity or because of a law that God set up. I think it falls because God's involved in His creation at every moment. Now, we call that phenomena. I'm going to drop it again, okay?
I am at your service.
We call that gravity. And you know what?
He's anti-gravity.
Does anybody doubt if I let go of this again, it's not going to fall? Does anybody doubt? Is anybody like, not? Are you in suspense? Like, twice it dropped. Will it drop again?
It can be done by prayer fast.
Nobody. Nobody's in suspense, right? Now we tend to think, oh, that's because it's a law. How about God is an orderly being? He is consistent and faithful. And so this drops. We can call it gravity. Yeah, I believe in. That's a name we have. Great. It's fine. But I don't think it's helpful to think of these independent laws. I think all things happen because God's involved in His creation. And if God decides, He doesn't want the pen to drop. He doesn't have to somehow supersede a law of nature. He just doesn't let it drop. He's involved in all things that happen. That's the doctrine of providence. Everything that happens, God's intimately involved. Not just in spiritual things, but everything. This is His universe. And He made it, and He's involved with it. Paul said this way, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Scientists are looking for the forces, that the unifying forces that hold the universe together. And they've postulated all sorts of things. But the reality is, the thing that keeps this universe together is God, His providence. Everything holds together because of His will. He makes it stay together. Jason?
I don't know if R.C. Sproul said it, that there's no maverick molecules in the universe. I don't know who.
There's no what?
Maverick molecules in the universe. Maverick molecules.
I don't know that word he said. Maverick. Yeah, oh, maverick. Yeah, right. I believe that, yeah. Every molecule is spinning in the exact place God wants it. You know, you start thinking about the wisdom of God, everything that He knows. It's like right now, you know, we're looking at, okay, this is a tablecloth, right? It looks solid to us. But actually, if we could look in the subatomic level, it's filled with a lot of empty space. And there's these little, tiny little particles that are all spinning and moving around. God is aware of the entire life destiny of every single one of those molecules, where it's been at every second throughout the history of the universe, where it will be a billion years from now, the exact path it's taking. There's billions and billions of these tiny little molecules just in this little tablecloth right here, and God has access to all that information. It's really mind-boggling when you start to think about how big, how much information he's got stored up. So there's no maverick molecules. I'd never heard that, but I like that. They're all exactly where they need to be. They're not there by random chance or accident or because of some kind of impartial, neutral laws of nature. They're because they're because of the plan and purpose of God. That excites me. I don't know how that makes you feel. Number two, God directs all things to accomplish His purpose. Everything is leading towards the conclusion He planned long ago. Look at a couple of verses, Psalm 139. David makes this startling statement. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Before the worlds were created, God had a book on Neil. And in that book, God wrote that on this particular day at 2:45, He was going to be sitting in this classroom, in His new building, sitting next to His favorite teacher.
Yeah, of course. Wow. Of course. Wow. You need to record that.
Of course.
Neil, flattery will get you everywhere. Before you were written, the book of your life, it was already written. Every day was already written in the book. That's quite amazing. You know, a lot of those days, I wasn't living for God. The first 19 years. But the Bible says, in His book were written the days that were formed for me, when there was yet none of them. How you doing? Let's read another passage. Acts 4. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Oh, wait a minute now. Okay, what he's referring to is the crucifixion of Christ. And so in the first verse, he says, let me tell you who's behind this. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the people of the Gentiles, the people of Israel, they gather together, they conspire to do this to Jesus. But what they did what God's power and will had decided they should do way before it happened. Let me ask you this. Did what Herod and Pilate and the Gentiles and Jews, was that wrong? Okay, that's an easy question, yeah? Crucifying Christ, yes, was that sin? Why did they do that sin? Why did they do that sin, class? The first answer is because they're sinners. And sinners sin. But there's another answer. They did what God's will had determined they were supposed to do. But it was sin. But God determined that they would do it. Is God responsible for sin? May it never be. Never. They sinned. Could they have not done that? Okay, it says right here, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand. God decided they were going to do it. Could they have resisted his will? Doesn't sound a whole lot like free will to me. But again, what do I know? Wow, that's quite a verse, isn't it? What y'all thinking?
Pastor Henry? Paul, if they decided...
Henry, that, is that Fidel? Yeah, grab a mic, Fidel. Be next.
If they decided not to do it, then they will sin because they did what is against God's will. I agree. That's true.
Yeah, we have an expression in the United States. I hope you'll allow me to say this. It says, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Literally, they're damned if they did and they're damned if they didn't.
Then yeah. Really, God is in control.
Fidel.
Yeah, I agree. They were just born just to fulfill the will of God. And I'm thinking as well with Judas.
Yeah.
His life had been prophesied in Isaiah, right? And then it happened.
Yeah. What are you thinking over there? What you got? Is it Archie? I can't see. You're hidden. You're hidden. Your cup is hiding your name.
Sorry.
Alzor. Okay, Alzor, yeah.
You're thinking Archie. About the about what I asked you before.
Yeah.
About if Hitler, he murdered
six million
of Jews.
Yeah.
And so, is that the thing that Hitler did is already written?
In the book?
A follow-up question.
Pastor Paul. Sorry.
I hear somebody. Go ahead. Talk to me, Archie.
Our discussion this afternoon. I was just thinking about this. Of course, we don't want to think about, you know, because we don't want to think or label God as the author of sin. So in what sense should, like, we quote-unquote balance it?
Yeah.
Should we say that there's a big difference between God, you know, having a foreknowledge of it that is going to happen, or he really predestined for it to happen, or stuff like
that? Yeah, well, what I read there, at least in that text, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So here's what I'm trying to do. I'm throwing a lot of controversial things out just to kind of stir things up, get you thinking, okay? We are going to land the plane. But in the meantime, let's just keep getting stirred up, okay? Let me read some more here. You know, these are really complicated things that require a lot of thought. And I think we're a little glib sometimes in the statements that we make. We don't think through the ramifications. So that's why I'm just stirring you up a little bit, just to make you think about things that we've just said by rote because we've heard other people say them. But let's really think through it now. Here's a statement that Augustine made. I like this. He says, nothing happens unless God wills it to happen. He either permits it to happen or he brings it about himself. God does everything he wills. He does not will anything without doing it. But what he wills, he does. And what happens does not ever happen apart from his will. In a wondrous, indescribable way, even that which is done against his will is not done without his will. Hang on. Let's go back here, okay? Let's go back to this text. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Does God want anybody to sin? Okay, that's a really easy question. No. See, I love what he says here. in a wondrous, indescribable. You know what that word means? It cannot be described or understood. Even that which is done against his will. It's against his will to sin. It's against his will to sin. But even that which is done against his will is not done without his will. Hang on. Okay, let's get a little bit more here. Kix, I love the look on your face. That's what I live for right there. That look.
I'm going back to Genesis already.
God's providence overrules human action as a means to his own goals. A person takes action, but God overrules. Jerome quoted a verse from Proverbs earlier. Here's another one. I'm not going to let you talk yet, Jerome. Hang on one second. This is Joseph. He said, you, talking to his brothers, intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. God willed. He intended it. Intend is a volitionary word. What the brothers did to Joseph, was that sin?
Yes.
Does God hate sin?
Yes.
Does he ever want sin to happen? Never does. They willed to sin, but God intended that sin. In other words, he was behind it to accomplish what is now being done. If the brothers hadn't done that, Joseph would have never ended up in Egypt. The famine would have spread throughout the world. His family would not have had grain. They would have died. And the seed of the woman would have ended on the earth. The messianic line would have ended. And so it was necessary that Joseph get to Egypt. And it was necessary that he get there through the sin of those men. They made a choice, but God overruled their actions as a means to his own ends. Jerome, would you like to say something?
Yes. So, Pastor Paul, it's God's will for Adam and Eve to eat the durian.
It was a pomegranate.
Okay.
It's a jackfruit, right?
No. Jackfruit. No, pomegranate. I have proof. Okay, last statement. And maybe this will clear something up. Oh, I'm sorry. Class is over. Oh, no. No, I couldn't do that. That would be evil. Choices that are made and actions that are done may go against God's will of command. We call that his moral will or his revealed will. Yet they fulfill his will of events, sometimes called his providential will or his secret will. So listen to this. When the brothers intended to harm Joseph, they went against God's will of command, his moral will. They violated the moral will of God. But even though they violated his moral will, they actually fulfilled his secret will, his providential will in accomplishing his purposes. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Kix, talk to me then. Talk to me.
I'm going all the way back to Genesis.
Go on back.
If God knew, God knows everything, why create us in the first place? And why even, if God knew that Satan would would also go against his will, how come he didn't just destroy Satan in the first place?
And you're not suggesting that God doesn't know the future.
He knows the future, so I'm just thinking, where did evil come from in the first place? Even before creation. I mean, that's...
There was no evil before creation.
It's only...
Yeah.
But there is a rebellion in heaven before the creation.
Yes.
No. That's after the creation.
So Satan rebelled.
Yeah. God created out of nothing, and whatever happened up there...
We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have much evidence. Yeah. We got some verses in Isaiah 14 that are pretty questionable.
So I just wanted to go back to our lesson yesterday that I'm just an ant and he's God, so he I may not fully understand everything. So I just don't get it.
That's okay. That's okay.
Just worship.
Yeah. But you're thinking at least. At least you're thinking.
So this means that he created us.
Others. Yes, Joseph.
Just a thought. Even if the brothers did not intend to harm Joseph, for example, what if, who was it? The elder brother?
Yeah.
Intended to pull out Joseph. If he did that first, and then we're saying God is sovereign, don't you think that God would have used another person to make sure that his will about Joseph being sent to Egypt will be done?
We could speculate about that. I'm just trying to look at the text.
Okay.
And in the text, it says clearly, you intended to harm me, but God intended. God had a will.
Okay.
He intended it. What's the it?
What
their
happened to Joseph?
Harm. God intended it. They're harming him. He was behind that intended, that would actually accomplish good. Yeah, a lot of speculation about this. So, Adrian.
Pastor Paul, I saw what Augustine said here. In his statement, he said he either permits. So the word permit, it means, yes, he is sovereign, but there are times he allows something. And what I mean is, early on, we've been talking about every decision that is done is controlled by God.
Yeah.
But now, if the word permits, there's a decision that he allowed.
He's still in control. He's still in control.
It's coming from other people.
He's still in control. He's still in control.
Yeah. Coming from this, it means the choices that the people makes, doing this or doing that, he permits things out of a person's decision or the God's sovereignty's decision.
It's a nice thought, but I mean, when we look at the text, we looked at that Acts 4:27 text, it's a little bit more than he just permitted, isn't it? It says he actually willed it. That's a little bit more than permit. When we look at the text here in Genesis 50, that's a little bit more than just permitted. No, I think it's just, I think it's you're looking at permit in a different way.
So if God permits something, if God's providence can overrule.
But he only permits it because he wants it.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
It's not like, oh, I don't want this, but I'm going to let you do it anyway. That's not what permit means.
That means there's free will if he can overrule human action.
Well, I haven't said that there's not moral choices. I haven't challenged that. I've challenged the term free will. I think there's a significant difference between the term free will and moral choices. Do men make moral choices that they're responsible for? Absolutely. Do they have free will? That's a different way of looking at it. Free will means they could, out of the billions of options and choices, they could pick any of them. Their will is not restricted by anything. It's totally free.
So it means even our moral choices are dictated by...
Here's what I think, okay? And people disagree with me. And really good Every Nation people, too, so. I think that... Oh, just jet lag just hit me. What are we talking about?
Free will and moral choices.
Come on back. It's just gone. Okay, yeah. So, if we use the term free will, and it's not a Christian term. It's a term from philosophy. And that's why I don't like the term, because I don't think it's a biblical term. It carries with it a meaning that I don't think is fully in the Bible. I think moral choices, but our moral choices are constricted. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that a man dead in sin can choose to love God. You see, I think his will is in bondage because of sin. And I think he's a dead man. And if God does not raise him from the dead, then he has no choice. So I think he makes moral choices. But I think he makes moral choices based on his nature. And his nature is sin. And so all his moral choices are degrees of sin. But he never is free to make a choice to be righteous. Because his will is bound by his nature. He's a dead, lost, God-hating sinner. And all of his moral choices are just degrees of his own sin. That's my problem with free will. Because I don't think the will is free. Got that? Yeah, Adrian?
I think it, right.
But feel free to challenge me and to think differently.
I think right now it's getting clearer and clearer.
Good. I knew it would. There was a method to my madness.
Yeah. Because of the moral choices that you presented. All of us, by default, we will choose to sin. And then it's our default for example, for Hitler, it's default to kill people. It's our default to kill people without the grace of God. So it means the only way that we can choose God and choose the right thing is only by the grace of God and being His sovereign controlling our lives.
Yeah.
So thinking that God is the one who decided for Hitler to kill all of those people is wrong, because it's by His nature, thinking about the moral choices. He's still sovereign, but it's automatic for Hitler to kill all people. But God has a greater plan, and He sees all things way beyond Hitler sees. And that somehow makes it clearer for us to see the sovereignty of God and taking away the free will and getting all of the controlling of all the things that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, Arthur.
Pastor Paul, going back to Acts chapter 4, verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So, okay, given that it was Herod and Pontius Pilate who conspired against Jesus, they are guilty of killing Jesus.
Yeah.
But it looks like God is the mastermind of
of killing Jesus.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so...
He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, so... He is the mastermind.
So... Okay, thinking in our contemporary time, he's guilty of killing Jesus.
The Father?
Because he's the mastermind. In Pontius Pilate and Herod are just the
I wouldn't
gunmen.
Use the word guilty,
or, yeah.
But I would say he sent his son to die.
For our sin.
He sent his son to die, so. And you can't die unless you get killed. He ordained
question.
It.
Question.
Yeah, go
so
ahead.
Paul, regarding the sins of the brothers of Joseph.
Yeah.
And Herod and Pilate, they committed moral sin, but they served God's purpose. Where does accountability fall into? I mean, like, for example, for David, he's called man after God's own heart, and yet he committed sins.
Sure.
And yes, his sin is not pleasing to God, but yet it's still considered the man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
So he failed morally, but he served God's purpose, like, you know, doing...
Yeah,
great question.
Let's do this. Let's look at a few more notes here. It may help. And it's past my time. I'm supposed to be finished. Challenges to this doctrine. Okay, challenge number one. If God controls all things, how can our actions have real meaning? How can our actions have real meaning? Aren't we just robots then? If God has ordained all things, and I think the Bible says he has, then how can our actions have real meaning? We just did what we were pre-programmed to do. What's the answer? The Bible teaches that although God controls all events, we are accountable for our actions. Notice this one. This is about Judas. This man was handed over to you by God's... Oh, it's still about Jesus. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. So, first of all, the apostle lets us know that Christ's death was because of the predetermined, preset sovereign plan of God. Nothing else but that could have happened. It was preset. And yet God says, you are still accountable. You are still accountable. You're still guilty and still accountable. What do you think about that? Jerome?
Yes, I was just whispering to Pastor Mark beside me. Yeah, our God is not a boring God.
He sure isn't.
He's he's full of drama.
Yeah.
He's a good director. He doesn't like monotony. He's a great artist. He saw this and set everything up. And
yeah.
It's great.
It is.
Life is not boring.
It's not boring.
It's like a movie that... What's next, you know?
Yeah.
Transcendent, yeah.
Let me say a few things here, because I feel like I probably should start to wrap up. In summary, I'm going to give you a few more points here, but in summary on this, here's what I think the Bible teaches. I think the Bible is very plain. It teaches that God ordains all events. I mean all events. God ordains all events. Everything that happens, God's ordained. I also think the Bible teaches very plainly that we make real choices that are significant. We're not just robots. We make real, significant choices that have consequences. I think the Bible teaches both of those. But here's what the Bible doesn't teach. How those two things, which are obviously contradictory, can possibly both be true. I don't think, I think that's our confusion. Is, I think the Bible clearly teaches both. But what it doesn't teach us is how both can actually work together. So all the mechanisms that we try to come up with, and I think we've heard a lot of that today. These are mechanisms trying to explain how two opposite things can actually work. The Bible doesn't answer that question. There is no answer to that. And so all our attempts to try to figure out an answer are speculation. They just lead us in the wrong direction. I think the best approach is to accept both by faith. So I believe every event has been ordained by God. And I also believe that I've made real choices in my life. I've made some very bad choices. And I'm responsible for some very bad choices that I've made in my life. And I'm finally content that I don't need to know how those two things can possibly fit together. I know that men are really responsible for their actions, and they make real moral choices. I also know that everything's ordained by God. And I'm at peace. I wasn't at peace for about 20 years, trying to figure out how these two work together. It's about a 20-year battle for me, till I finally realized there is no answer in the Bible. But I'll tell you how. Let me see. No, I'm going to wait. Let's keep going. Let me give you a few more fill-ins. If God controls all things, does he cause evil? Somebody over here brought that up earlier. Theodicy, right? Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible never blames God for evil. It always blames man. So the Bible teaches that God ordains all things, and yet God is completely guiltless. He is not blamed for evil. Humans mean what they do for evil. God overrules and uses their actions for good. The Bible never shows God taking pleasure in evil. He always abhors it. And finally, the devil is the agent of all evil. We see that clearly in the book of Job. God allows the devil to work. God limits the devil's work. And in the end, God overrules the devil's work. Let me give you some conclusion, and then we can just chat as much as you want. There's at least four proper responses to the doctrine. Here's what I think this should produce in you. I think, first of all, it should produce worship. I think we should just stand in awe of God. This humiliates our pride because our reason can't attain to it. It just torments us. And the answer to this, how can this be true, is I just worship God. The second response is trust. Trust. We just yield our life to his control. I cannot tell you how constantly I lean on this doctrine for strength and comfort in life. I mean, it's a daily part of my life, knowing that God's ordained every event in life. Things don't go right, and things don't go right because I made bad choices. This doctrine gives me such confidence in knowing, first of all, I made bad choices and I'm accountable for them, and I'm gonna reap some bad results. And yet, God's ordained it. He's behind it. And so somehow, even my stupid, sinful choices and bad decisions are going to work together for God's glory and my benefit. And I just take a deep breath. I used to live with a lot of regret about about decisions I made and the consequences, why I didn't do that, mistakes I made. And now, and it's number three on your list, peace. We rest in the knowledge of God's control of all things. It gives me so much peace. And the last response is obedience. You see, the wrong response is, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, so it doesn't matter what I do. No, the Bible teaches that my choices matter. And so that gives me the fear of God. And so that produces obedience. I obey in holy fear, knowing that my actions have real consequences. And yet I have peace knowing that when I fail to obey and I sin, somehow even that is a part of God's eternal plan. And that is going to accomplish His purpose in my life and in this world. So I have peace. Okay, now, questions, comments, thoughts, unresolved issues. What do you want to say? Joseph.
I just want to continue on what Pastor Jerome was saying about everything is like a movie.
Okay.
And like for us, it's just happening. But for someone who's already seen a movie, and you know what the ending is.
Yeah.
Even if whatever happens in the middle, because you know the ending, you have this peace that even if the, for example, even if the hero is being shot at, about
like
to die,
dead. Yeah.
And then, but you know in the end he's going to live.
Of course, yeah.
Whatever happens in the movie, you're sure that at the end of the movie, this hero will live and this hero will be successful.
Yeah.
In our case, in the case of God, when He said it is finished, it is done, He's already seen everything that has happened.
Yeah.
Trusting His will, trusting His sovereign will really give us peace because He already knows the end.
And if it is a movie, He made the movie. So all the things that are happening in the movie, they're happening because the director made the movie. Yes, Louis.
Pastor Paul, you touched the deepest core of my heart because this has been my questions in my entire life.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Yes, and you've been suffering for, I think you said like 20 years?
At least.
Well, I'm suffering for like twice that year, like 40 years. And still, you didn't point to the one answer that this is true or not.
Okay, what is it?
No, the about predestiny
know?
And about,
yeah.
And you spoke about, it's actually true, both of them. There are real consequences and
yeah.
And God is sovereign and you have choices. And I think this word trust in the conclusion, I just received just right now the peace of not knowing what God knows.
Yeah.
I don't
feels
need
good,
to know. I'm released.
I am too.
I'm free.
I feel good
I'm
too.
Free. And I'm okay with that now.
Yeah.
That I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And if there's a time that I will be meeting God, maybe I can have the answer and go to heaven. But
it probably won't
even
matter
if
then,
I don't,
will it?
Yeah, the mamadali. But after eating this, you know. But it really dawned on me that there are really things that you cannot comprehend.
Yeah.
And that's why you worship.
Praise
us.
God. Just lift our hands. Let's close in prayer. That was the best thing we've said, so I want to just end on that note. Lord, we're so thankful to you for truth in our hearts. Thank you that you are sovereign, Lord, that every event in our life, Lord, it's all been written in your book. All the days ordained for us. And Lord, we know the plans you have for us, they're good plans. Lord, to give us a future and a hope. We're thankful for that. Lord, we just take comfort in knowing that you've ordained all things. And they're all working after your predetermined plan. And Father, we also know that that doesn't release us from responsibility. Lord, we make moral choices that are real and genuine and have lasting impacts. Lord, let the fear of the Lord grip our soul. At the same time when your peace grips our soul, let your fear also grip it at the same time. Father, I pray for those who still have conflict in their mind. Lord, let the peace of God guard their heart and mind by Christ Jesus. And let the end result be just the lifting up the hands and saying, I don't understand, but I worship you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys.